as a means of a background, you know, I'm not a son of the South, so I'm my country music roots are, well, there aren't any, to put it that way. But the fiddle, as opposed to the violin, a popular musical instrument, has its roots in southern Appalachia for the most part, as far as Americans
are concerned.
That's right.
I mean, you know, of course, there's a ballad tradition that goes back to when Scotch-Irish came to this country in the 18th century. And certainly by the late 19th century, the fiddle, and interestingly enough, also often accompanied by the banjo, were principal instruments of what was called at the time old-time music or sometimes hillbilly music. And Atlanta became kind of a center for hillbilly music, for old-time music at this time.
Was mountain music or hillbilly music, to use that phrase?
Or old-time music.
Or old-time music. Was it popular in concert halls throughout the state of Georgia at the turn of the 20th century?
You began to see growing contests. You also often had fiddlers accompanying politicians on the stump. You had fiddlers performing at land auctions and sales, at openings of stores. You had a number of events and quite popular kind of conventions and so forth. In 1913, at the recently constructed Atlanta Municipal Auditorium in downtown Atlanta, you had the first Georgia Old-Time Fiddlers Convention, and they lasted there from 1913 on to 1935.
That Atlanta became the site of the Old-Time Fiddlers Convention for the entire state, was it because it was an easy destination to get to? You'd almost think, well, mountain music, you might want to have the convention in Gainesville or Dalton or some other mountain town.
Well, you had all these transplants coming into the city of Atlanta who had come from farms, who were working in cotton mills, you know, white transplants to the city. The city often seemed a really kind of a strange and foreign kind of place. And these fiddlers' conventions really kind of provided a sense of reassurance, of connection, of roots. Even as Atlanta was building skyscrapers and fancying itself as a modern city of the New South, there are all these people here who came from rural backgrounds who were, frankly, kind of comforted by these old-time fiddlers' conventions. It was sort of a reassuring sort of sign of home.
Are these multi-day affairs, and what's going on at a convention?
Yeah, these are raucous multi-day affairs. Often leading the convention was a character who called himself Alec Smart, as in Smart Alec, and he'd wear an old hat, and he'd have a cowbell, and he'd march them in a procession to the nearest radio station, and there'd be contests going on for several days. These are wild, colorful, raucous affairs, the Fiddlers' Conventions.
One of the founders of the convention, in fact, I guess he's been called the granddaddy of mountain fiddle music, was Fiddlin' John Carson.
Right. Fiddlin' John is really one of the most important figures in old-time music at this time. Unclear exactly where he was born. It's sort of the stuff of legend, and the newspapers would cover these folks in very colorful kind of terms, almost picturesque kind of terms. You know, so Carson was always shown, photographed with his hound dog, for instance, you know, and sort of portrayed as this archaic hillbilly from the deepest, farthest back hills, an image which he cultivated himself. He was born probably about 1870, I guess, and moved to Atlanta, worked at the Fulton Bag and Cotton Mill, was a textile mill worker himself, and immediately became one of the staples of these fiddler conventions in the 19-teens. His popularity led him later on to become really one of the very first recording stars and radio stars of country music. He was on WSB radio within 8 days of its opening in the early 1920s. And by the mid-1920s, he became the first old-timey recording star. Nobody thought that this music would sell. The record producers in New York thought it was this old, dying, archaic form of music that wouldn't last into the 20th century very far. But this record of Carson's sold like hotcakes in Atlanta and then began to sell elsewhere. And music, the music industry folks realized that country music could be commercially viable.
And I think that's a very important point, that in 1913, when the convention began, that predated commercial radio in Atlanta by almost a decade.
Right. There was no radio.
Yeah. But so now, through WSB and other radio stations, you've got this form of music being broadcast all over the region.
Right.
And it changes people's perception of music and how to relate to it.
That's right. I mean, and the Fiddlers' Conventions, no doubt, by popularizing people like Carson and the band that became Columbia Records' leading traditional hillbilly band of the 1920s, Gid Tanner and the Skillet Lickers, this old-time string music kind of paved the way for them to make their way into radio and then into recording. In the 1920s, Atlanta was the country music recording capital of the country before Nashville superseded it by the late 1930s. By the mid-1930s, however, there were other types of entertainment. You know, there were other radio outlets, there were movies, Americans were doing other kinds of things, and you began to see a decline of this live country music, old-time music convention. The Fiddler's conventions in Atlanta, not surprisingly, died out in 1935. And this relatively raw, primitive-sounding music began to be replaced by more sophisticated, more highly produced music in Nashville by the late 30s.
Well, let's take it out with the granddaddy, Fiddlin' John Carson himself. What do we have?
This is from his initial recording, Little Log Cabin in the Lane.
On OK Records.
On OK Records.
Cabin in the lane.